company. Come take your liberties.
Thank you. Amen. Darnell, if you'd go ahead and play that, I'd appreciate it. We'll just wait till that's finished. We have a little video. Thank you for your offering. Bless you. Would you check the volume? A little music goes along with it. Well, we are in between, and that's Everest region. That's part of the Himalayan mountains, and we are in that. This is a church we were building, a lot of primitive type churches, and so we just thank God we're able to do that. All our ministries scattered throughout Nepal and India, and so we just thank God for what we've been able to do. In this place, we host teams, people coming from different places doing medical ministry, regular ministry, children's ministry, and we're working toward a coffee house ministry. And Judy's done a lot toward the women. She'll mention some of that. And so we just thank God for what we've been able to do, because we are making disciples in God's kingdom. This is our helper, Ashok and his wife Sunu in Nepal. We had a prophet come in. And we had a national meeting, and I'll tell you a little more about that in a moment. But we just thank God for what he has been able to allow us to do. During COVID, we have ministered about 3,000 individuals through basic giving and rice and needs. And now they'll be moving into some blankets and different things for the winter. We also have some adopted children, and we thank God for them. And we have some beautiful, beautiful children that Judy will mention in our People to People program. These are a little bit of their pictures. And we just thank God. Most of these are pastors' children. And we're able to minister to them and help them with some schooling, help them with basic needs and different things. And so God has been good to us in so many ways. And this is on, most of you know Rose Boy, that is on her back porch. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. What a joy it is to be with you, and enjoyed the worship so much in the presence of God from the very moment that we walked in the doors. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit was here. Thank you. Thank you for such a warm and wonderfully open welcome that you have given us this morning. And thank you, Pastor, for letting us come in a time that I know your pulpit's very important for you to have, but you're sharing it with us today, and we are honored. Well, God has been so faithful, and you saw just a little bit of our video. I could tell you 100 stories, but I'm sure you'd fall asleep before I got through, so I'm going to try to narrow it down to a couple of things that have happened over these last 3 years that we have lived in Nepal. The Lord had ministered to me before I left to really pour into the women leadership. So when we are in India, as we go in often as well, and in Nepal, there are masses of people, and it can become quite overwhelming when you're trying to minister to the needs of the people. So because the Nepali, the Indian understand and know their culture and their people much better than I do, even though I feel like I've learned a lot. You learn a lot through a lot of making a lot of mistakes. But I've learned a lot, but still, I cannot relate to them like their own people. So the Lord has blessed and allowed me to pour into the women leadership and let them go out and minister to their people. And it has been a beautiful thing. So we actually were able to hold in Nepal the first Pentecostal, International Pentecostal Holiness Women's Leadership Conference. So thank you, Jesus. Yes. It might sound like a small bit thing, but working that and getting that together, you can multiply it maybe by about 10 times to what it takes to do one here because of logistics and the difficulties of getting a place. The last one we had was across from the Monkey Temple. We could look out the window as we were worshiping and praising and watch Hindu people and Buddhist people going up to worship the monkeys at the monkey temple. This was just monumental to me because the windows are open and the breeze was blowing and you could watch them climbing the steps to go pay their respects to the monkey god that can do nothing for them. And we were worshiping the one true living God right there across from that temple, which was very strategic. And I know that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit flowed out into that community that day. I know it did, and I thank God for that opportunity. Also, another thing that was very dear to my heart, and for years when I was missions director in the local church, I wanted to see a people-to-people program, and I wanted to get it started, and that came to pass this year with 25 Nepali children that you saw on the screen. They're pastors' children, leaders' children. This helps. That $25 a month helps free those pastors' families up to go out and minister while they know their children will be taken care of. So I just want to greet you. You have brothers and sisters across the world that say, tell them we love them. Tell them we're praying for them. You have brothers and sisters in India, in Nepal, that we have met, that we have met in Japan, in China, in Hong Kong, in Bangladesh, in Vietnam, many parts of the earth, throughout Africa, Israel. They say hello. We're praying for you. The riots and things that we are seeing in our country today, it's a common thing in the parts of the world we live in. And the people are hurting for America as they see this happening in America. So know that now, all the prayers and the seeds you've sown, they're lifting up prayers for you. God bless you. Thank you for letting us be here. Please meet me at the table afterwards and I'll answer any questions.
I tell you what, we've been thanked several times by a few of you today for what we do and for the obedience, but I feel like I'm just getting started, and here I'm nearly 70, 68 to be exact. And Judy said, don't push it. It'll come quick enough, right? We've been on the field, and we've lived for the last 10 years on the field, and we thank God, and I've been doing missions ministries for 20 years, but I pastored since I was 17 years old, and so I've been in ministry 51 years, and so God has blessed us in many different ways, but I want to tell you, there's been a lot of ups and downs. You know what I'm talking about. Well, the same way when you go overseas, it's no different. I relate to pastors here very much so, and I relate to pastors there, because there are problems and situations that everyone on this planet, and especially God's children, have special, unique situations and things in their life that God is trying to show them how to overcome now. When I grew up, Pentecostal church, we're waiting for then. That's about all we did. We sang it all the time. Don't take away heaven from me, but we sang it all the time. We were waiting for the rapture. We were waiting for the things that could culminate and get out of this place. Well, I will tell you, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach at age 17. God spoke to me, and I asked God, and I said, Lord, I know what I can't do. I was raised in that. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I said, I know all things I can't do, but what can I do? So my life has been dedicated to finding out what God has put in me that I can do something with. Hallelujah. A couple of things on DePaul before I shift into a word for the church and a word for the day. The fact is that God has done so many wonderful things. We've been there for almost 3 years. My goal before we left, because I sense that there's some kind of shift in our ministry coming. We still can't tell you what that is, but we're just letting God have His way. We put leadership in place there. We're still working. We'll still go back and do what God has called us to do. But there's a shift coming, and has a shift coming in this earth. And God has allowed a divine reset time. God did not do it. Nobody got COVID or the plague because of God. God allowed it, though, because He can use anything the enemy comes up with and turn it around for your good. So in the middle of a nation where I've had to be more underground for the last 10 years than I ever was in the first 40 years of ministry. And so we were shut down. I couldn't go out on the street and preach the gospel. I was looking for longevity so that we could do what God said to do. God said, raise up a nation. That's a daunting task to a little East Texas, short Texan, from Eastern Texas and living most of my life in North Carolina. The fact is, that's a daunting task to think God wants you to raise up a nation for His glory. But I figured out it wasn't just me. Hallelujah. And I said, God, how do you do that? And He said, do what you're called to do. Minister to pastors, minister to the leaders, minister to people of God. And so that's what we've been doing. And in 3 years, we started with 18 churches. I dismissed 12 of them. That's a good way to start, isn't it? You start pruning things, but there was a lot of stuff going on. I won't go into all that. But we had 6 churches. Because we had problems with leadership, they asked me to come in and work it. Today, 3 years later, we have 450 churches. Over 500 ministers registered, 25,000 members in those churches. So we moved in 3 years from a place of nothing to a place of influence. I pastor pastors. God gave me a strategy to do this because I certainly didn't know what I was doing. Has anybody been in that situation where God puts you in a situation you absolutely don't know what you're doing and you know it? And that's a good place to be because you're now back as being just a child. You're now just being a child. You're a child of God, though. And that is all the difference in all the world. You're a son of God. The fact is, God spoke to me to go out and look for pastors that were already pastoring that wanted a home and saw the vision we were talking about nationwide. And that's all we did. We scheduled. Now, we did it through a lot of apostolic networks. Pastors that were already pastoring pastors. And some of our pastors knew these pastors, And so we networked with it. And before we know it, we're at 450 churches. And my helpers tell me we're really much more than that. Could be close to 1,000 because of the sister churches that we haven't had time to register. This is God. Can anybody say that's God? It's not the work of a man. It may be the work of an obedient man, because that's what God does. He uses us to do the work of God, and you've got to be obedient to see it in your life. But I had one goal before I left, because I knew this shift was going. I wanted to have a national meeting. We scheduled about 150 to 200 pastors we thought were coming. And we got there, we had a budget of $5,000. Now, that's daunting to us, but God had made it available and worked it through different networks, and it was going to be taken care of. So we felt good about it. You know, we got there, we had 500 pastors register. Now, when you talk about that, you're talking about housing them, feeding them, and giving them travel money. Because many of them came by faith, and you're there, and you help them because that's what you've set up. It's your deal. You set it up. We had a budget all of a sudden of $12,000. And within 2 weeks, all of it was paid. Give God praise for that with us. We didn't know how it was going. I mean, man, I was a bit frustrated and fretting. I don't know about you, but I'm still human. You know, it's dawning when pastor says the apostle's coming up, and you say, well, there's so many people who look and see what's going to happen. It's got to be miracles. I went to one church. They thought I was going to bring the great revival down on their heads. You know, the fact is, I have revival all the time because I have revival in my soul. I sought for God for changing me and moving me into that. And this is the type of church that God is trying to do that in all of us. I tell you what, when we really get revived and we really get the foundation of God under our lives, true foundation of God under our lives, I want to tell you something. Revival will happen. It not only will break out in this church, it'll break out in this area. And not only in this area, it'll break out in this state. It will break out all over the place when certain people of God will get a hold of God for their own hearts and their own lives, and they'll win the battle. They'll win the battle of about 6-8 inches. Some people's heads are bigger than the others. So between the ears. The battle between the ears. It means a lot of things, the battle between the ears, because it can be the battle of the mind. Anybody ever had a battle in their mind? Anybody ever had a battle with God, yourself, and the devil all at the same time? Anybody ever had stuff coming out of their mouth that they didn't think anything was like that still in their heart? There's a battle going on. God is merciful, though, and He loves us. He's a loving God to His people. Now, there's a vengeful and wrathful God coming down the pike. Can anybody say amen? It's going to happen, and it's going to happen sooner than we think. The fact is, Jesus is coming. My first sermon at age 17 to a group of about 300. My knees were shaking. My voice was probably shaking. But I preached, Jesus is coming soon. 51 years later, it's sooner than it was. Thank God. And our soon's not His soon, but I want to tell you, it's soon. Hallelujah. You can see the time. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I know what we're praying for. I know what I believe. And I'm not here to tell you how to believe or anything else. But I'm telling you one thing, that I know that no matter what happens in the near future, God is still on the throne. Now, why are we having a divine reset time? Because it doesn't matter who wins an election. It matters who's on the throne of the nation. It matters because we may go through some, and I'm going to say it right in church, hell on this earth before Jesus gets here. Because it's all, according to what we read and what we see in the Bible, it's all a prelude to the big showdown. Thank God, though, I still believe we're not going to be at the showdown. We're going to be out of here, brother. We're going to be out of here, sister. That certainly doesn't mean that we're not going to go through stuff, because I've been going through stuff all my life. I don't know about you. But if you want to get promoted in God, and if you want to have a divine encounter with God, then it is always directed in what you're immediately going through. Because what you're going through, if you take it in God And you love people in spite of what they're doing to you. And you pray for people in spite of what they're doing to you. And you forgive people in spite of what they're doing to you. Then you will see the promotion happen in your life. And God will give you new gifts, new understanding, and new revelations that will propel you constantly forward. See, I know something that you don't know today, and it's all about me. God told me yesterday that today He's chosen Westmoreland for me to receive the next promotion. I have no idea what that means. But God spoke to me a lot of things I didn't know what they meant at the time. Amen. I've seen a lot of things in the Spirit. I didn't know what it meant at the time. But you just hang in there because God will show you that. I believe many will do that. Now, a word for this church before I move forward. The prophetic word for this church was already spoken and sang today. Let me get, because I wrote down some of the words. And there it is. It recognized me. Matthew 9:38. Pastor Jerry already said it. It's on your promises for the family salvation. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth laborers into his harvest. This is your foundation. I'm going to talk about, in the beginning of a word for this church, as your DNA. This is the foundation of what God is saying in this place and through this place. Not only in this place, but through this place. The foundation is that love is flowing. Amen. Everybody look around. Go ahead, look around. Go ahead. It won't hurt your neck. If you do, I pray it'll heal you. It'll be healed now in the name of Jesus. I pray it'll be healed while you're looking around. That'll be good. The fact is that these are the people you're to love. Man, I don't know if I should say it like this, but some of you may not be easy to love. And those are the people you need to love more. Somebody here may have said something against you or about you. And you got to love them. And forgive them. And every time you see them, you don't bring it up to your heart and up to your mind and rehearse it over and over again. You know when you haven't forgiven something because you rehearse something constantly that hurt you. I had a lady in a church I just have taken. Holy Ghost spoke to me to pray for her. And I went up to her and began to pray for her. And God started speaking to me that she had not forgiven her first husband. I didn't even know she'd been married before. Boy, that's daunting. Go ahead and say that. Well, I don't know if it's dumb. I don't know if it's stupid. I don't know if it's obedient. But I just went ahead and said it. And I did it without the microphone. You know, let's have some wisdom. I had a little wisdom when I was that age. But the fact is, she said, oh, I forgave him a long time ago. Did you catch the tone? I said, oh, you have. I said, okay, well, that's great. Bless you. And dismissed her. Because if you're not in an attitude of reception, when the man or woman of God prays for you or with you, then you just might as well forget it. Because if you're not ready to receive from God through people of God, and I want to tell you, you may have to receive something from someone that you just don't like. You're not even sure they're going to get to heaven. And God speaks to them a prophetic word that only God would know through them in your life. And you say, I don't know. How's that happen? Because it's God, and He can even speak through a... This church DNA is prayer. But it's it goes into the fact of loving. That this is the song you were singing, Pastor Ricky. Love is flowing. Now, it says it's coming down, but I want to change that. Love is flowing through this place. Because Jesus already came down. And it's all right to sing it that way. God does special things from heaven for me and for you. Amen. But Jesus lives right here. And wherever I step, that's where Jesus is. I don't care where I am. That's where Jesus is. Because he dwells within me. He dwells within you. Wherever you are, Jesus is there. Now, that is if you're a believer. I have to distinguish that. I want you to understand that. And in church, sometimes we get carried away with, everybody's on the same level. That's not true. There are some people that have made an intellectual salvation. How many knows that it's with your mouth that you confess and your heart you believe? Some people have made an intellectual salvation stand. They heard the gospel. They wanted the gospel to be true, and so they made a confession of faith. But I want to tell you what, they just missed it. Because it is not a want of the gospel to be true. It's faith in the gospel message that says this is fact. This happened to Jesus when he died on the cross, put in the ground and was resurrected. And now I receive it by faith and I am being resurrected in the name of Jesus. An intellectual salvation will not change your life. It may get you to church every now and then. It may get you on the, some duty in the church. It may get you looking good. It may sort of keep you from being too bad. And I want to tell you, being a bad or too bad is not the point, because it is being righteous that is the point. And that righteousness comes from Jesus Christ himself. It is not you or my righteousness. If your righteousness is not taken from God and put in your heart, you can try righteousness all you want to, and you will fail many, many times. I appreciate what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for a lot of folks. But God spoke to me many years ago that you don't have to, if you're a spirit-filled believer and you've been changed by God, you don't have to keep up and keep saying, I'm an alcoholic. You can be free. So, I owe everything to the Lord. That's another point of that song. I owe everything to God. There's nothing's happened in my life, good and bad and indifferent, that I don't owe to God in one way or the other. I owe him when two of my children have died and gone to heaven. I owe him blessing and thanks that they're in heaven. I owe him blessing and thanks that he's got me through it and helped me to stand on the rock and look forward to the day I reunite with him. I thank God that even though some of my children made different choices in their life, that God spoke to me, you and your household will be saved. And I don't care how long it takes. And if I die and don't see it, then God will bring it to pass. You see, my faith, according to Mark 11, is not in stuff that I'm praying for. My faith is in God, who will bring it to pass. I'm going to announce, this is Breakthrough Sunday. Some of you are going to get a revelation of God, a revelation in your heart, a revelation in your mind that flows into your heart that will change your perspective for the rest of your life. Let's take that scripture. In fact, let's go to Well, let me preface this. We're living in God's kingdom right now. We're living in God's kingdom right now. That's the difference. The old Pentecostal thought we were waiting for God's kingdom. But now we understand, thank God, that we are in God's kingdom right now. God's kingdom is literally within us. Some people say, well, you've misinterpreted that scripture, and it really should say the kingdom is among us. And I say, if that is what it was supposed to say, that's because the kingdom hadn't come yet. Jesus hadn't resurrected. Jesus hadn't instituted it. And when he resurrected and instituted his kingdom upon the earth, it came. And he said, it's within you. And he also, that's Luke 17:21. Yet the kingdom of God is in you. He said, don't look over there. Don't look over there. Look here. The kingdom of God is right there. Why? Why can I say that with such authority? Because the king lives in me and the king lives in you. And wherever the king is, there is his kingdom. I am his territory. I am the place of the tabernacle. I am the place he dwells in. I am what he said I am. I am. You see, there's a difference in trying to believe. I heard that statement all my life. There's a difference in trying to believe this. That's intellectual. And getting it in your heart and believe it. There's no debate. And I want to tell you something. Being a pastor, you run into some people that are smart. That can outquote scripture, that can throw these things together. But I tell you what, all those guys that tried to outsmart me to give their philosophy, every time God would give me wisdom to outsmart them. I mean, one guy come in, he's a Christian, quote, quote, and all what he's doing is spouting Hinduism. That's all he was doing. Reincarnation, even. And I know about that. I live in that in those societies. The fact is, I said, well, there's only one scripture I can give you that refutes that. And he said, what's that? I said, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. There's nothing else after that. He looked at me and he hushed and walked away. You see, you can't refute the scripture itself. You can talk about it and you can say, I've had people say, oh, I don't mean that. Well, that's all right. If you don't think it means that to me. And it changed my life. There's some things that have changed my life. The DNA of this church, owe it all to Jesus. Love everybody. Pray and believe. And then the last thing is walk in it. Just walk in it. When you've done everything you know to do, that's after putting on the whole armor. That's after using the sword. That's after using the shield. That's after putting on the right thinking. That's after putting on the breastplate, which is the right righteousness, the right heart. You get the right heart about the thing. You get the right attitude about it. You think right about it. You think the Word of God. That's how you think right. You think the Word of God, and you have your feet shod with preparation of the gospel, and you just go on about it. And it says, after you've done all of that, you fought all of it, and you still don't see exactly the winning result after you've done everything you... I know y'all taught well here. This man is a man of God and a man of a teaching man. We have 2-hour conversations when we talk. And he does most of the talking. And I always learn something. That's the good thing about it. I don't stop him from talking. I don't try to get off the phone. I want to hear this, you know. Because he's saying something relevant and he's saying something now This is a now kind of faith that overcomes things. It's not faith that when I got baptized when I was, 20 years old and 50 years ago. It's not that faith. It's now. Now faith. Luke 22:29, Jesus said that God, my Father, conferred a kingdom on me. Conferred means covenant, give. And so, and that's King James in covenant, in that confer, I think. And he said, now I give or covenant you a kingdom. God has given you a kingdom to operate in. It lives in you. It walks with you. In fact, in 1 Peter it says, I didn't tell you this one, Darnell. In 1 Peter it says that he's given you everything for life and godliness. It's already done. It's not something he's, we're always praying for something. Can you say amen? I was in India many years ago, and this was a worthwhile Pentecostal prayer to me. I say, God, give me the anointing for the night. I'm preaching in the inner city. He knew all that. I'm preaching in the inner city, and a lot of Hindus coming, new people coming, and we want the anointing of God, and I want to see what God has, what you have in store. I need the anointing. All of a sudden, I had a vision, and the vision was that I was walking down a beach, and I had this, he had this robe on it, what looked like Jesus. It was huge. He looked like he's a pretty big guy and had long brown hair. And I said, what is this? And he didn't say nothing. So you just wait. And all of a sudden he stops and turn around and it's my face in Jesus' body. And I said, what is this? And he says, that's you in me. And I am in you. Does anybody believe that today? He is in you and you are in him. Abide in me and my word abide in you, and you'll ask what you will and it'll be given to you. And then all of a sudden the robe blew open. And the reason it was so thick, there was many robes. All these were translucent on the inside. And the very first word written down a lapel in the anointing was the anointing. And I said, what is this? And then there was other words. There was other power and authority. And many, many other robes were there. And I read in Isaiah that it gives us robes of righteousness. Hallelujah. But many robes were there. And I said, what is this? He said, that's what you are already clothed in. I said, you mean I already got it? I'm Pentecostal. I thought you were supposed to keep asking. And I finally learned a lot of lessons through all that over the years. And I finally realized there is a point of asking. But then there's a point that you believe it's happened. And now it's time to thank Him. When do you have faith? Not later on, now. Find out. Know God heard you. Pray to you know He heard you. And then when He heard you, it's done. And I don't care how long it takes. 23 years ago, God spoke to me three things. Two came to pass in 6 months, and they were amazing, miraculous. The third, I'm still believing for. But I believe it. I still don't know how it's going to happen. And if it's in my ability, I'm afraid that's not. I'm afraid it might not come past in my ability, but in God's ability, He can make anything happen. And He does it for His purposes and His reasons. God put a ministry together in Nepal with 450 pastors. At this point, I'm seeing 2,000 in my heart already. But the fact is that God did that for a purpose and a reason. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond me being there and doing anything. It's way beyond me being a missionary. It's all about His purpose for the nation of Nepal. We still work in India. I thought all this was going to happen in the nation of India. I mean, after all, it's a billion people there. But no, God chose a different place. And he brought it to pass, bringing it to pass right before our very eyes. I'm going to show you something in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 or 4 to 7. I won't try to, you can look at it if Darnell will bring that up. In fact, there's another scripture about according to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Next one. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And here's my point. That by these, what? Promises, you might be partakers of the divine. By the promises of God, you partake of God. His word is him. John 1:1, Jesus' word. Amen. It is him. And we stand on those promises. They are great. Let's go to the next one. I think it's going down. You add all these. It says, and besides these, give all diligence. That's good. Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Let me make another point. If you need faith, go to the promises. Because number one, you access who God is through every promise in the book. There's over 6,000 of them. Every time you go in the promise, and since we've read Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. I'm going to use this as an example. That he may send forth laborers into his harvest. When you look at that promise, he will send forth laborers. You look at who God is in that promise first. Listen to this very carefully. You're going to see God different than you've seen him in a long time. Because every time you go to his word, there is a promise in there, no matter where you're reading. But you look at him and you see the Lord. Number one, that word Lord in the Greek transliteration in English is actually the Hebrew word Jehovah. Or Yahweh. Or Yahushua. You can go into many, many different understandings. We don't know the exact pronunciation of the old Hebrew. But Jehovah of the harvest. He's Lord of the harvest. You look at him. He is the harvest maker. He's the harvest provider. He brings everything. He brings you the land. He brings you the seed. He brings you the water. He brings you everything about the seed and bringing it up. He is it. He's not just going to give it to you. He's it. If you need seed, look to the seed maker. Look to the one that is seed. Because you inject God in every promise, you will inject the power of God in every promise. Number, you look at God. God here is the Lord of the harvest. You need souls, you need your family, there's what you look at. Don't just ask God for the harvest. Don't just ask God for laborers. Look at God, who he is. How great he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is. You see him as the Lord of the harvest. You don't see our pitiful efforts as the harvester. And I've been prophesied too that we were a mighty combine. That we would plant and harvest at all at the same time. And God has done that. But I want to tell you something. It wasn't my pitiful efforts. It was God that provides everything and has done everything to make it happen. The fact is, God is the God of the harvest and he's powerful to bring in the people. There's a mighty revival coming. There's things happening in the earth today that you're not aware of. There are people getting saved, healed, delivered. There are churches being planted in the midst of pandemic. We had 19 people baptized week before last in one of the churches, brand new church in Nepal, up in way in the mountains. You can even see the Tibetan mountain range from where they are. I've been there, and the fact is God is moving now. People are getting saved all over the place. But pandemic is a divine reset time for people. They're either finding God or they're walking away from God. With the delusion that has come upon our nation and coming upon the whole world. Many nations are already in delusion. Many nations are already deceived. The Bible says in the last days that deception would be so strong that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And there's some of the elect that are swaying with the opinions of man. I don't want the opinion of man. I want God's opinion. I want what God has. I need what God has. I don't need what man has. I see what man can give you. Absolutely nothing. They can promise you the world and not deliver a thing. Now, I've had pastors do that. I know they have good intentions, but good intentions are not good enough. If you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, don't you walk away from there without at least saying a prayer under your breath or laying your hands right there in the market and praying for them. And I didn't mean you had to run down the aisle or do anything crazy that made people think you were already crazy enough. Now you really are crazy. That's not the point. The point is pray for them. And if you really dare God, lay your hands on them and believe God for healing. You know every one of you are healers. You don't have to have the specific gift of healing because God's children have the DNA of God in them. And God is a creator. God's a healer. God's one that sees the future, knows the future, will tell you the future. God is one that will bring mercy, love, and forgiveness. God is one that will show might and power over all diseases, over all sicknesses. They quarantined us because we came in for Asia for 2 weeks. And I told him, I said, well, that's okay. We'll abide by the quarantine. But let me tell you, if you knew how many people I laid hands on that had diseases, you wouldn't want to come around me anyway. Judy and I prayed and prophesied over 400 people individually one day in India. She did all the women. I did all the men. I don't have time to explain cultural differences. The fact is that we go home when those special anointings come and we compare notes. How many people did you lay your hands on that had high fevers? And we compare 4 or 5 out of that. How many people said that they had disease? There was always somebody. Pray for tens of thousands of sick people over the years. Seen many miracles. Now, if I could explain God, I would know a lot more than I do. But I've studied healing all my life because I know that's one of my giftings. Studied miracles because I know I can have a breakthrough in miracles. And after all this study, I feel like I don't know anything. Because I can never predict what God's going to do. And how God's going to do it. And I can always tell that God has a greater purpose of waiting than I have known in people's lives. I can bring you down right here if I want to show you all the things that's happened. I can tell you how the boy with a hunchback that literally brought him way down, 20 years old, been in pain all of his life. I can tell you how in one instant God took away the pain. No hospital, no doctor, no medicine had ever done that. His big smile comes across his face, looked like his ear to ear. Saw him the next night, and my translator at the time said, Brother Danny, you won't believe what that young man, I said, who is that young man? He jumps out of the crowd, shakes my hand like he's going to shake it off. He had this familiar shirt on. And I said, I think I've seen that shirt. It's a wool shirt in the middle of 100-degree weather. You never know about India. The fact is that He said, that boy, was you prayed for him last night. And that boy went home, and in the middle of the night, God straightened his hunch back. I couldn't even communicate with the boy. He spoke, where were we at? He spoke Maharashtrian, and I could barely speak English. So everything has to be done through translators, because there's 1,000 different languages of just the Hindu language. So everywhere you go, you have to have translators in the local vernacular. So we've learned to work with translators over the years. But the fact is, I didn't even know what, but as soon as the boy come up, I mean, I could see he was bent over. And so I just began to pray against the pain. And what was his problem? And God did all of that. I could tell you hundreds of cases. I have prayed for people that had heart disease and God took it away. By x-ray. After it had already been confirmed. But I tell you what, I had heart disease and I had to have surgery. How do you explain that? You're supposed to be the great apostle, man. The great prophetic voice. You're supposed to be. I can't explain those things. I tried. That just gets more pitiful every time, I think. The fact is, God knows you. And he knows the situation. But it doesn't stop me from believing for a miracle every time. If I pray for 100 people and don't receive a miracle, my 101 is I'm going to expect a miracle. Yes. Amen. That's not your point. Your point is not that you have to see them healed. That's what I had a real problem with, Brother Jerry, when I was a young pastor. I hated funerals. I hated weddings. I hated hospital visits. Because I found out after a while that I was thinking they were expecting something from me. And then I realized, well, I ain't got nothing to give them anyway, except God and his word and his comfort and his love. And when I did that, that was enough. That was enough. And then every once in a while, God just surprised us all. And miracle took place. Cancer was taken care of. On and on and on. I could tell you so many hundreds of stories, but it might sound like I'm bragging, because it certainly isn't. Because I tell you what, I keep shaking my head wondering why God did this one and didn't do that one. Why God you do that and why did you do that one? That one deserved it. They've been a saint all their life. They've been in church. They've been working for God. And this one, I'm not going to say much about this one. This, I don't see all that in their life, but you heal them. You know, he doesn't answer me. He just doesn't answer me most of the time, because God doesn't have to answer me, though he does on many other occasions and many other times. But see, you're clothed with God and with all that he has. Everything he has is right there in you. If you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, you believe the gospel, and he has got into your heart, and it has changed your life. That's the point of real salvation. If you made a confession of faith and your life didn't change, go back to the altar and get it in your heart to let him change your life. Let me tell you, it's worth it. And that don't mean God's going to call you to be a missionary. That would scare some of you half to death now, even. Work, you know, you got faith in God, you're working the pandemic, and you're overcoming fear, but that would scare you. But I want to tell you, when God calls you, then it's okay. He'll take care of it. We lived on the 7th floor of an apartment building in Nepal, and we started that 2 years after the major earthquake that brought down 1,000-year-old temples, brought down buildings all over the city. And another missionary I met there that was going up into the Tibetan region, he says, "You're a mighty brave man." I said, "Why?" He said, "Living on the 7th floor in the midst of all these aftershocks." But you know what? God spoke to me when I was praying about it, and he said, it'll be okay. Now, we left, gave up that apartment because we were going to be gone a while, we knew. And at the end of that, this week, they had a big 6-magnitude earthquake. We're waiting to see the results of that. Look at God in his promise. And then when you see who God is, now listen, this is your breakthrough moment. This is your breakthrough moment. When you see who God is, you will see who you are meant to be. I serve God. And I know Paul said that I'm a slave for God, but I am not a servant. God's my friend. You can look at God in many different ways, but he's more than that. God is my father. I'm his son, or you may be the daughter. God is my father. I'm a son of God. This is the breakthrough. See God. See yourself. God, somebody tell me, just out of a word, raise your hand because it could be several. Tell me a word that speaks about God in the word itself. God is, or God Almighty. Truth, love. I can't remember all those. See, I am human. No, the fact is, God is love. That's who you are. Because that's who he is. That's who you are. You see, we are to be like Jesus. But it's more than being like. When you study that out, it's being Jesus on the earth. It is being Jesus on the earth. It's showing mercy. It's giving truth. It's having power when you need it, and authority against the enemy of God. Because, you know, somebody says, well, you call yourself an apostle, you call yourself a prophet, you were called as an evangelist, you served as a pastor and teacher, and you're just human. I said, absolutely. I am more dependent on God than I've ever been in my life. Because I'm a child, but I'm also grown up in God more than I've ever been. And I was talking about Pastor Jerry, that's your dual tension. You're an adult when you grow in God. You're growing into maturity. But you're a child always. Because before God, you're his child. God's always above you. He's always greater than you. You can be the most powerful man or woman of God on earth, and God is still above you. And you are just a child when you go before God. You can have all the intellect and know everything about everything that you can figure out in this world, and you don't even have a drop on God out of an ocean. You can gain all the wisdom, all the knowledge of all the philosophers, and you can counsel everybody and give them help, and yet you don't know nothing. You're just getting started. Especially if you didn't give it in God's counsel and God's wisdom and God's help. Because man's philosophy can get it all messed up. And I started to say a word there. I shouldn't have probably said, but then get it all messed up. Amen. Because when you look at this world, it is a mess. Where do we stand? Oh, I could say so much more, but where do we stand? We have to stand on the word. We have to stand on the promises, and we're going to become like God. Is that arrogant? Absolutely not. I say that I have the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, and the working of miracles. And somebody said, that is arrogant. you say something like that. I said, no, God granted me those things because, see, I am the church. And who to give it to but the church? It's not some ethereal thing out there. God's not some ethereal psychology. He's not something out there in the way beyond. God is right here, living in me, working in me, walking with me wherever I go. And I've been threatened to be killed by being shot, by being bombed, by being cut up in little pieces, and by being burned alive. But I'm still here. And God has His way. Does that mean I'm better than anybody else? Absolutely not. It means God has a plan, because the next time maybe I will be killed. And that's okay with me, because I settled it a long time ago. If I'm willing to live for God, I got to be willing to die for God. And boy, we won't even talk to somebody in the grocery store because we're scared of what they'll think. It don't matter what they think. Give them the truth of God in love. In love. Let me keep saying that. Don't condemn them. Don't judge them. I don't care what they look like, what they smell like, what they're doing. Don't condemn them. Don't judge them. You're not their judge. You love them. That is your job and my job. And show them mercy and prophesy to them what God wants in their life. Even if they never do it, even if they never accept it, you listen to God and get a word of counsel for their life. And then walk away thanking God that God spoke, and now it's up to them. And next time you see them, if they haven't changed one little bit, you thank God that He spoke. Maybe to a sinner. Now, Father, I thank You now for what is about to be let go in this church. Because some of you need to let go of fear, doubt, disbelief. Some of you need to let go of disappointments. Some of you need to let go of bitterness. Some of you need to let go of what the abuse in your heart that has happened. Some of you need to let go of... There's at least five people here today that God is saying that you were abused. Maybe try to be sensitive. That you were abused in such a way that it still affects your life. And let me tell some of you young people, if you're not being abused, you better thank God for what you have around you. You don't know the hell that people have gone through in this life. But this is the day that God has chosen for you to let go. Now, here's something that needs to happen when you let go. You need to see God, that even though you wonder where God was, that He was there watching after you, and you're still alive and you're still functioning and you're in the house of God, and you need to thank God that He brought you this far. Number two, you need to forgive the person that's an abuser. Now, let me tell you something. When you forgive the abuser, it does not mean you get them off the hook with God. They still have to answer for their sins and their abusive ways. And they will answer for that. But you forgive them for your own heart's sake. Now, how do you know that it's still bothering you? It comes up and you feel the hurt still every once in a while. You see, when God gives you peace over this thing, you can, if it ever comes up, you can take that abuse and make it something that frees people, because He helped you. Now you can help them. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes just a moment. And if that's you I'm talking to, won't you slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down. I see four right off the bat. Now, you other brothers and sisters, if that's not been part of your life, I need you to thank God right now that you are not abused misused in those ways. Because what I'm talking about is not just being slapped around. It's not just being talked about a little bit. I'm talking about real abuse. Now I'm going to pray for you. You know, I have to be real sensitive when God shows me this. He doesn't show me this everywhere, but I had to be real sensitive because I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Though maybe I even ought to, but well, I'm wrestling with this, and I think God is saying for you to come forward. Now, I want to be real sensitive. You don't have to. This is really between you and God, but I want to lay my hands on you and pray for you, and Judy does too. So, if that's you, I want you, everybody in a sitting position, if that's you, I want you to stand. I want you to walk down here. You want a breakthrough? I want you to come. You want a breakthrough? I want you to come. Now, there's some of you that have tormenting spirits. Now, what is a tormenting spirit? It's a spirit that talks to you and accuses you and tells things to you that keeps you down all the time. Sometimes when you're abused, you have these tormenting thoughts constantly. But some of you else have tormenting spirits that do that to you, and it overwhelms your mind. It keeps you out of faith sometimes, and it keeps you having to fight the fight all the time. If that's you, I want you to come forward. Yeah, I know we're in a Pentecostal church, and I know that this is sensitive, but I know God. And you see, I know God loves you. He loves you so much that He allowed you to go through some of this stuff. And lesser people of you would not even be around today, because some of you had thoughts that may have taken you out of this world, but you're still here. You're still here. God's protected you to this point. There's still time to join them. If you have those tormenting thoughts and spirits hounding you, we're going to close the door. Okay? Now let me tell you how we keep a door open. We keep a door open, and it's illegal for Satan to mess with us when we do not forgive, number one. Number two, that we partner with that thought. And it gets us down, gets us crying, gets us depressed. So I want you to unpartner today. And I want you now to partner with the promise of God that I am with you always.